today on Compassion Radio.
I will die rather than follow your pagan belief, because the Lord Christ has promised us that we will be victorious even in death. And I wonder how many of us would be unwilling to undergo persecution, or would rather maybe take the easy way out. So the state of the world today is concerning. There are many challenges, to put it mildly, but external pressures have never been able, nor will they ever be able, to stop the Church of Jesus Christ, for it is indeed built upon a rock.
We've all read or heard the accounts of Christians being beaten, tortured, and murdered for their faith. But that was way back in Bible times, right? That sort of thing isn't still going on in our modern world, is it? Sadly, the answer is yes. And in some ways, it's worse than ever before. Hello, and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, our guest Jim Jennings of Conscience International says that we must never give up on trying to help our brothers and sisters, and that if we'll simply ask God to show us how we can help, He will make a way for us to do just that. This is Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part two of Bram's recent talk with Dr. Jim Jennings.
Joining us on the program again today is our dear friend and a mentor of mine and a great friend to the ministry over the years and personally to Norman Shear Nelson, Dr. James Jennings of Conscience International. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Bram.
Now, we left off having done a survey yesterday of most of the Eastern Hemisphere work that Conscience International has been involved with for the past few years, including Central and Eastern Africa, in the Middle East, and all the conflicts that reach all the way back into the Asian parts of the Silk Road. Now, they all seem like a fairly hopeless and are recalcitrant, and they just don't seem to be resolving. But we'll get back to that question in a few minutes. I do want to ask you about another sphere of influence and call to action that you've laid out there in the past couple of years about Central America. Tell me what has been happening there that puts them in the same kind of league as the conflicts in Central and Eastern parts of Asia.
Well, as you know, Graham, I've worked most of my life in the Middle East and expanded into Far East and Africa, certainly. But I always thought of those countries, as I think most people here in this country do, as the most violent places in the world. In fact, that's not true. It turns out that there are four countries in Latin America, Venezuela and Colombia being the two biggest ones, where the murder rate is higher than anywhere else in the world. Yeah. And so that they've had political revolutions. They've had suppression of native populations, as they have done in Guatemala and Nicaragua over the last half century. But it's particularly troubling now with the political issues and economic issues that have made Venezuela something like a pariah nation, even though it had been one of the richest countries in Latin America because of its oil wealth. Many of those people have fled. 1.3 million minimum have fled outside the borders. And when I was there most recently in the Colombia, in the border of Venezuela, there were tens of thousands of people coming across daily, and many of them are sleeping on the ground without a blanket, without a tent, without a air mattress. I haven't seen this in all the years of refugee work. Most refugee camps have at least tents, and sometimes they sleep on the ground, but at least they have something to cover them. But there they have nothing to cover them from the elements. And that's because of the political disruption in Venezuela and the economic collapse of that country. So Colombia is absorbing a great many of them, but so are the other countries around that area. I think that in future, the political conflict between the United States, for example, Russia has ships that they sent to the vicinity, and the U.S. has as well. And it's a dangerous time for that. So I think in the Western Hemisphere, it's possible that we could have a conflict when we're actually looking for possibility of conflicts with Iran or China or some other place. So that's a real concern, and we are responding to that connection with the churches there. One thing about the Latin American people and the churches, they are very responsive to the gospel. They're very enthusiastic about following Christ, And it's good to go alongside them and help them in every way you can. Now, in Guatemala, we are this month coordinating some churches from Mississippi and Florida to build some houses on land we purchased there for people who are displaced.
And why were they displaced, Doctor?
Well, there are several things. So one is a volcano that we responded to immediately, Fuego volcano, after it erupted then a couple of years back. But they have periodic volcanic eruptions. And they also still have an attempt to suppress the population that's mostly Indian background. And in Honduras, the crisis there, 559,000 refugees from Central America have Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador have fled. A lot of them come to Mexico and on the U.S. border, which creates an issue in our country. So those people are suffering greatly, and logic would say that, that the way to deal with the crisis is to help those countries to stabilize. But most recently, when the Hurricane Dorian hit, the winds were 185 miles an hour.
Wow.
And this lasted, it just sat over the country, especially Abaco Island and the eastern end of Bahama Island, for days. And that was so destructive. And so we drove all night to get there to respond. We flew on an old World War II plane operated by the missionaries out of Fort Pierce, Florida. We flew on that DC-3 plane to get to Grand Bahama Island and go out on the eastern end of the island. It was just washed over by the water and destroyed much of the vegetation. The homes were devastated. We held an open-air meeting there with the churches, and the people are in great need. And unless the churches focus their energy to help them, it's going to be years before they get help. I was distressed to learn in the last few days that a large international church body had gone there to assess the situation and came away and said, nothing can be done. And I was distressed by that because, you know, and so they listed, here's what you could do. You can pray for the victims. You can pray for the planners to respond somehow eventually. You can give money, and you can stay in touch with us. I just didn't like that. And so when a disaster occurs, if you have the ability to go rapidly and help the people immediately, that's what you should do, and that's what Conscience International does.
So what is the first thing you'll be doing to deal with that fallout from that disaster?
Well, we went and met with the pastors early on because before some of the big international organizations even got there. And we asked them, what do they need? So I think an important principle is you have to go, and if you want to understand, stand under the local leaders and the pastors and the church leaders. And that's very important. Once they tell you what they need, then you try to figure out how you can convey that to churches in this country and ask them to direct their aid to that place or work with us to help them. And so that's the way we do. But we look for individual people who need help, and we give them help as we're able. Like we offloaded like 15,000 pounds in four truckloads for the plane so that that could be distributed to the displaced people. We gave them water, so because it's one of the first needs they have. And then we made plans to address individually, one by one, what are some of the greatest needs. And one pastor said, well, we have a lady here whose house was demolished, and she's a widow, and she has no legs. This kind of person we ought to help. So we made a plan, and we figured out how much money it costs to help that person. One of the issues is that the Bahamas government, because Bahamas is more like Florida than it is like Haiti, for example.
Yeah.
And the Bahamas government doesn't want temporary housing built. So how do you help those people? The only way so far is to bring them into the country where they can, into the cities where they can stay in shelters. But that's not going to last very long.
Yeah.
The other thing is there's great wealth there in that country from some of the foreign companies that have built resorts. And so some of the resorts were damaged, but some were not. So it's an uneven, and that becomes an economic challenge as well as a challenge to the gospel. But the churches there are good and strong and are doing good work. There are many, many churches.
I imagine within the next 24 months, you'll probably have a lot of on-the-ground projects with some of those local churches.
Especially the Florida churches who have been involved with the Bahamas for a long time are responding, and they are the ones who will maybe take the lead from some other American churches.
So we've got the Western Hemisphere, we've got the Eastern Hemisphere, and you've given us that survey. If we could spend maybe the next 10 minutes or so, Doctor, talking about the spiritual principles here, why you go, how you go, and what it's like to be a Christian activist. What does it even mean to be a Christian activist? Is it different than being an activist in some other realm or in under some other authority?
Thank you for the question. As most of your listeners know, Bram, because you cover this kind of topic often, this is a time of great danger for the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world, but it's simultaneously a time of great opportunity. So it helps me to think about where we should position ourselves as Christians. First, biblically, what does the Bible teach us to do? Go and serve. But also historically and geographically, how did it happen that Asia is now being swept of its Christians? I mean, I'm talking about Central Asia down through the Middle East, and that's been going on for 1,000 years. Where are we today on that? Where should we be in terms of biblical and historical and geographical grappling with these problems? Sometimes I think the church, as I said, is failing, and sometimes I think it's amazing what the Lord is doing through people surrendered to the Lord. So, persecution is one of the issues, and that's why it's dangerous in some of these countries. We have to confront the truth that churches and individual Christians all over the world are facing bloody persecution and martyrdom as bad as anything that happened under the Roman Empire, under the Nazis, and under the communists.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation is coming up in just a moment.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our vision team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our vision team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
Emotion, hold on to all. victory marches on. There is a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Oh, but the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly, there is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
In this generation, Doctor, the kind of persecution we're talking about, is it basically just the same old story since the beginning of time? The kind of torture and degradation and dehumanizing efforts that the devil puts in the hearts of men to go after Christians? Or is there something new that you're seeing that is unique in this century?
Okay, I think you've asked the right question, Bram, and that's this. Yes, it is the same. People are actually tortured physically and beheaded and crucified and everything else for their faith. Now, even more insidious attacks, however, come from cultural practices that are godless, that weaken the core fiber of Christian belief and practice. Today we're seeing it in our country and in our world. Mm. And those attacks, I think what's interesting is that the church has never been defeated by persecution. It's the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, but it has been weakened, and in a sense, if it's defeated, it's defeated because we weaken our faith and we don't stand up to the issue. So the way we deal with this, as I said, in Conscience International, is put our faith to practice in our feet and hands and shoulders, and going out to meet people in need. In one sense, that's a demonstration of what Christ called us to do. And if you demonstrate it, it actually inspires others, I think, to follow that and to act that. So it comes down to what we value most.
Yeah.
Our lives or our testimony or our spiritual heritage. And you know, before the Roman Empire converted to Christianity under Constantine, just a few years earlier, there was the most severe fiercest persecution ever under the pagan emperor Diocletian. Mm. And I was reading about some of the martyrs recently, and they stood up in court and said, no, I will die rather than follow your pagan belief, because the Lord Christ has promised us that we will be victorious even in death. And I wonder how many of us would be unwilling to undergo persecution, or would rather maybe take the easy way out. So You know, the state of the world today is concerning. There are many challenges, to put it mildly, but external pressures have never been able, nor will they ever be able, to stop the Church of Jesus Christ, for it is indeed built upon a rock. And it's up to us to stay true to the Church's mission, to exercise our calling as disciples of Christ, and for us at Conscience International, it's hand and heart, shoulders, do what Christ has called us to do, to respond to needs. And because the world is so much smaller than it used to be, my great-grandfather had to take his horse and wagon and take 3 days to go across the mountain and get supplies and come back. Today, we can go almost anywhere in the world in 24 hours. And so you, Bram, and certainly Norm and Cher Nelson, before you, have led the way in showing that we can actually deal with people in China or in Zanzibar or any place if there's an open door and a calling. And people say, why do you go there instead of the inner cities in this country? Well, it depends on your calling. I happen to speak Arabic, so I spent a lot of time in the Arabic world, in the Arab world, ministering there. But also, it's opportunity. I mean, in the gospel, in the book of Acts, it let us. They wanted to go into Macedonia, but they couldn't, or Bithynia, so they went to Macedonia instead. So you take the opportunities that come to go and go and go and serve.
Yeah. We've often talked on the program about while the window is open, we have to act. And there have been many countries that you have traveled with Dr. Nelson and have seen great welcoming. I mean, they did the Advent in Afghanistan program just shortly after the first battles with the Taliban, and the place was wide open for Americans, especially. You'd in there and say, why in the world have you noticed us suddenly, and what do you stand for? And once you all got to know the warlords that were running the north and the south parts of the country, suddenly an invitation came in to come share Jesus.
You're right. Norm did marvelous work there in Afghanistan. We were there together at one point.
And when we talked to the folks in Compassion Radio and said to them, the window may not be open for very long. We got to do something while the window is there. You can see what's happening there. We can help people that are on the ground. We can get involved directly and help seed the church.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen and spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.